We read here in this text,
as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Let's think for a few minutes on the subject, a cool drink of water. There's nothing more refreshing than a cool drink of water, especially when you're thirsty. It's not only delicious, but it's life-sustaining. And what water is to your body, the gospel is to your soul.
Amen.
Water is not an option. Water is the most basic and necessary element, component in all the world for all life, human, animal, and plant life. You can live without Mountain Dew. You can live without candy bars. You can live without a lot of things, but you can't live without water. It is the most basic of all things. Everything dies without it. Even so, just as we die physically without water, we die spiritually without the gospel. And more than one time, the Bible uses water as a type of life and a type of salvation and a type of the gospel. This verse here speaks of cold water. Cold water. When you're hot, you don't want lukewarm water. We used to get up hay about all summer long, and my grandma would get a quart jar, and she would put water in it and put it in the freezer, and she'd freeze it. And it'd be full of ice, and then she would set it at the barn, and it would slowly melt, and when we'd come in and unload a load of hay, we'd all get a big sip of cold water. And then we'd come back with another load, and it had melted a little bit more, and we all drank out of the same thing. I know that sounds terrible, but we didn't know no better. We just farm people. But it sure did taste good. A big swig of cold water. Have you ever been hot and have straw in your hair and dust all over your face and enjoy a wonderful drink of good cold water? Well, hallelujah, there's nothing like it. And so the Bible says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Let's examine this little text. Again, you want cold water when you're hot. You don't want lukewarm water. Well, that's nauseating. Jesus Christ said in Revelation 3 that things that are lukewarm are sickening. Because thou art lukewarm, he said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I would you were hot or cold. Lukewarm water? People used to say to me, people used to get on to me for drinking a half a cup of coffee. I used to drink a half a cup and it'd get warm and I'd just not drink the rest of it. And you know what this lady did? When we had a Christian school, she bought this thing and you plug it up and it heated up your cold coffee. And she, but it don't taste right after 2 or 3 days. But anyway, I can't drink it lukewarm. What if it's lukewarm, it's nauseating. It's sickening. If it's lukewarm, it's repulsive. But if it's good and cold, it's all right. And it'll satisfy you. See, religion's like that. Religion is lukewarm. Religion will turn people away from God. How many atheists I've met who said to me that they used to believe in God, but they saw some false religion, many times Catholics and Protestants, and it was repulsive and nauseating and sickening. An imitation. And they just became full-fledged atheists. Religion is always sickening. And many times beyond that, it's even cruel. You ever study the religions of the world? You ought to do that. If nothing else, it makes you appreciate Christianity. Make you realize Christianity is in class by itself and over here is all the man-made religions of the world that inflict pain and require. Do you know why? Just notice this in the news. Do you know why there's so many suicides out in Utah and among all those Mormons? You hear of it all the time. Do you know why that is? Because they teach them you must be perfect. Now, nobody can do that. Nobody. Did you hear me? Nobody. So when they try to do it and they can't do it, they're so disgusted with themselves, they commit suicide. That is the cruelty of religion, of Mormonism, and a lot of other graphic examples. But that's just one that comes to mind. So religion will never satisfy you. In fact, it'll drive you away. It'll make you disgusted. Well, I believe that a man has got to be thirsty before he'll be interested in a drink of water. And there is such a thing as spiritual thirst. And we're talking primarily about the thirst of a sinner, his recognition of his need. You know, the day you got saved, you were lost, but you were lost before that. There was a period of time when you were very much aware of your lostness. You were lost all along, but you weren't really aware of it. There wasn't a strong recognition of your need or a desire for help. Did you ever get lost in the woods? That's a frightening feeling. That really is. Well, multiply that by 1,000, and that's how a sinner should feel, that he's away from God and he's just one heartbeat from destruction. So it's necessary for a sinner to get thirsty. That's the work of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, to cause a man to seek for help, see his lost condition. It's the work of the Spirit of God to convict, to draw, to woo. It's beyond our power. We pray, we witness, we give the gospel, we preach, we teach, but ultimately it's the Spirit of God, John 16, it does that inward work of conviction and ultimately conversion. D.L. Moody said, if I had to convict people, I would have given up the work a long time ago. Well, we can't do that. But we don't have to worry about that, because God's Word never returns void. And the Spirit of God's office work, I used to love to hear that when I was a young boy. I used to love to hear those old-timers pray, and they would talk about the Holy Spirit doing His office work. You ever heard that? That means they were praying for Him to do that work that the Bible describes Him doing in John 16. I used to love to hear those old-timers. They would pray, and I want to preach on this sometime. They'd finish their prayers and say, Lord, we'll bow our, and this means so much to me. They'd say, Lord, we'll bow our unworthy heads and say, Jesus done it all. I like that. Boy, I love that.
Amen.
That's bad English. If you wrote that on the English paper, the teacher would say, that's wrong. You're supposed to say, Jesus did it all. But I like it anyway. Jesus done it all. Amen. We'll bow our heads and say, Jesus done it all. The older I get, the more I like to remember the past.
Amen.
There ain't nothing in any of this new religion to compare with that, by the way. Well, the Spirit of God does His office work. And aren't you glad He got you to where you were desperate?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that He got you in a place where when you woke up, all you could think about was how you was going to hell. And when you went to bed at night, all you could think about was how you was going to hell. And you thought about, do I know any Christians that it can help me? What's the preacher's phone number? What's the closest church? You got desperate. You got thirsty. You would have never been interested if you hadn't been thirsty.
That's right. Amen.
And you didn't recognize who it was or what was happening. You just knew something was missing. Maybe you were aware that you had offended a holy God.
but you are getting thirsty. Then the Bible talks about being thirsty. Let's turn and read two verses quickly. Revelation 21, verse 8. Verse 6. 21:6, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. You got to be thirsty. And then over in chapter number 22:17, it says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let him that is athirst come. Let him that's thirsty. Now I know the Spirit of God makes a sinner thirsty, but I also believe that salt makes you thirsty too.
Right.
Do you know why these places give you peanuts to eat? Because that makes you thirsty and you want a Coke. That's right. They know that. Salt creates thirst. And you know one reason some of you got thirsty and got saved? Because there's a lot of Christians around you and they were salt and you saw in them a joy you didn't have. They could handle trouble in a way you couldn't. And that salt started making you thirsty. Because if we're like everybody else, then why should sinners seek any help?
Amen.
If they see a difference, they might start getting thirsty. I worked at this place. I know this sounds like I'm bragging on myself, but I'm not. I'm telling the honest truth. I didn't work there very long. I couldn't take it. It's third shift. I already had another full-time job. So I was having two full-time jobs and I had to give up one of them. But anyway, I only worked there a few nights and never said nothing to anybody. I had to wear a suit. I had to wear all this great big outfit and use chemicals and clean a great big machine. And when we had a break, them fellas said, you're a Christian, you're a preacher. I never said one word to anybody. They couldn't understand me through that outfit. That's right. I don't know how they knew. I didn't know any of them. They didn't know me. But after 2 days, I don't know how to explain that. I'm just relating a fact to you. I do know Jesus said you the salt of the earth. I do know that. I do know there is a difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. The real thing. And I do know salt makes you thirsty. Real thirsty. Sinners need to get thirsty. And we can help that process by being what we ought to be. Well, thank God the cold water of the gospel will satisfy the thirst of man. Jesus told that Samaritan woman, the water I give you will be in you a well of water springing up into life eternal. And he said, you'll never thirst again. John 4:14. Once you taste of this water, you'll never ever thirst again. Notice one more thing, please, in this text. The gospel is called good news from a far country. When we lived in Northern Ireland, we love to hear from a far country, which was America at that time. It was wonderful to hear from home, to get letters and emails. A lot of times we didn't, but every now and then we did, and it was wonderful. Well, this far country here is not talking about Europe or South America or the Middle East or Australia. It's talking about that far country. It's talking about heaven, and the gospel is good news from heaven. The gospel did not originate in the heart of man. It originated in the heart of God. It didn't come from Jerusalem or Antioch or Washington, D.C. It came from heaven. It's good news from a far country. And this man said to me one time years ago, he said, the gospel does not mean good news. I should have known he was telling me a lie from the beginning, because he had already told me a bunch of lies. But I went and looked it up. And gospel means good news, glad tidings. That means the same thing. That's a synonym. Good news. The gospel is good news. Do you know it's good news that God so loved the world? Do you know it's good news that Jesus came to this earth and finished what He came to do? He was not a failure. He succeeded perfectly and absolutely in what He came to do. That's good news. It's good news that anybody, anywhere can be saved today and know it and never be sorry about it. Boy, that's good news. These Mormons came to a friend of mine. He pretended like he wasn't a Christian just to see what they'd say. He said, I want to meet with you fellers and I want to know how to get to heaven. They said, sure, we'll be coming around. And he said, now how long is it going to take for me to know all I need to know so I can be sure that I'm going to heaven? They said, well, we'll meet with you once a week, and maybe after 5 or 6 months you'll know you're going to heaven. He said, that's not good enough. He said, I need to know sooner than that. What if I die in the next 5 or 6 months? Nobody has good news but Christians. Jehovah's Witnesses, bad news. Everything they tell you is bad news. There's no good news. I heard the news. Do you know they just don't put the good news on the news? I saw the news tonight. All they're talking about is where Michael Jackson lives. Not Michael Jackson. Michael Jordan. Boy, I know nothing. And I thought to myself, that is so unimportant. Forgive me, but who cares? Why don't you put something on the news worth telling? Tell we had vacation Bible school last week. Amen. Tell about somebody growing in grace or getting saved. Who cares where Michael Jordan lives? But the world don't know. But I'm glad we have good news. We have something worth telling. About a no-so, life-changing, everlasting, sky-blue salvation. Make you love everybody, take you to heaven, do when you're dying, friend. That's good news. He arose from the dead. He'll never turn anybody away. The grace of God's greater than man's sin. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I just shared with you in the last 2 minutes the best news that's ever come into this world.
Amen.
The good news of the gospel. Good news from a far country. If you live to be 100, you'll never hear anything better than what I just said.
Amen.
And it's because it came from this book.
Yes.
And it's from heaven.
Yes.
It's like taking a cool drink of water. Invigorating and refreshing and life-giving and edifying. No wonder everybody's invited and urged to come, and to come without delay. Don't you like what they used to do in the desert when somebody found water? They would shout the word water to the top of their lungs. And when the people would hear the echo of it, they'd shout water. Because that's the best news there can be in the desert.
Right, right.
I've heard about a man who found a bag of gold nuggets in the desert. You can't eat gold nuggets or drink them. He perished, a mighty rich man. The best news in the desert is we have found water. And when somebody finds water, they shout it, and everybody shouts it to the top of their lungs, because that's the best news there can be. And that's why Christians ought to be shouting to the world, we have water! We have truth! We have the gospel! We have salvation! And then everybody hears it's supposed to repeat it and tell everybody else. Did you notice there in Revelation 22:17 where it says, the Spirit says, come, the bride, that's all the saved, and the next part, Let him that heareth say, come. That means you don't even have to be saved. Let everybody tell it. Every once in a while, a sinner will tell another sinner, you need to get saved.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. A lot of people know the gospel, they just haven't given in yet.
Right.
Down in their heart of hearts, people know the only answer is the gospel. Well, we have water. This is the greatest story ever told, and we need to read it, heed it, and speed it to the four corners of the earth. Nobody has to die of thirst. Nobody has to be lost. There's cold waters for thirsty souls. There's good news from a far country. I like what that woman said. She had never seen the ocean before. I've told you this. She was very poor. Some group took her to the ocean. She saw that ocean. And she said, that's the first thing I've ever seen that there was enough of. Amen. And I'm telling you, there's plenty of the grace of God and love of God to save the whole wide world. Did you know on Sunday 1 million people got saved? That's still the average worldwide. Hallelujah. 1 million people. That didn't strangle God. He can do that. Don't you know He can save 1 million people just like that?
Right.
I know it's not happening in America, but it's happening in a lot of other places. There are 200 other nations in this world besides us. I know we think we're the only one, but there are 200 more.
Amen. Right.
And God's still in business, and He does mean for everybody to be saved. Yes, He does. He so loved the world, and He can still save anybody. Well, I appreciate your attention. Let's tell people that there is water for their thirst. People are trying a lot of different things, but nothing will satisfy except the gospel. And it'll work every time.
Amen.
Amen. Would you join me?